What Ron just read here today was the first of two creation stories. In it, in all the verses, including the ones that we didn't read, we deal with God creating, often on a large scale, with the creation of the cosmos and everything in it. But over the course of that full reading in Genesis, we move from chaos to creation, the hardness of the ground to humanity, all through the power of God speaking everything into being. So what does this story of creation tell us about God? Often, and throughout history, we've focused a lot on the masculine images of God, like Father, using words like him and he to talk about the divine. We do this mostly, probably, because of the second creation story, which we didn't read here, but we often refer to, where God created this creature called Adam, first as a reflection of God's own image. We naturally assumed, for whatever reason, that Adam was a guy, and because Adam was a guy, so was God. But this Adam fellow, this Adam, was more than just a man. The creation of the Adam was a metaphor for all humankind. No man, no woman, just God and God's image. So this little bit tells us that God is more than just one thing, and that each one of us reflects a part of the image of God. But in the passage that Ron just read, we don't have any mention of the Adam. But in this story, we see something special about the nature of God. God didn't just create because God was bored. At least, I don't think so. God longed for a partner. God yearned for relationship, and so the universe is a result of that longing. In creating humanity, the reflection of God's image, it wasn't just man or just woman. It was all humanity created together. We aren't beings created as islands, but rather we are called to be in relationship with one another, just as God yearns to be in relationship with us. Ultimately, this reminds us of a few things. First, to truly begin to capture the image of God, we have to be ready to look at women, men, transgendered people, and all of the beautifully diverse parts of humanity. We have to see the young and the old. We have to embrace people of all color and creed. Only then can we get a sense of what God looks like, because God looks like all of us together. Second, we're reminded that no one person stands alone. By the way that God brought humanity into being, we are interconnected. And so when one person is hurt, we should all endeavor to heal that wound. Third, in the same way that we are interconnected to one another, we are connected with the whole of creation. We are clay-formed and spirit-blown people. And so the protection of this world and its creatures should be of great import to us. But the most important thing that we learn here about God, our Mother, our Father, our Creator, is that God wasn't breathing life into creation so that God might dominate it, but to embrace it. As we recall that it was God's longing that brought us into being, let us turn to God in thankful prayer. Let us pray. Creator God, before the world began, you sang the song of longing, yearning for what was to come. In the chaos of those first notes, you sang creation into being. As you hummed the tune of creation, light broke free from darkness, and firm ground rose from tumultuous waters. As the song of time moved on, it picked up pace, and life sprang up throughout creation, and the sounds of animals joined the song. But still you longed, still you yearned, and the music began to reflect your being. As your voice reached forth, humans rose and breathed deep your spirit song. Now, we sing the song of creation with you. Hear us this day as we respond to your love song in kind, hear us as we offer our hearts to you. Amen.
Wow, you've got cool shades today. Just wait here for me first. I know last week we didn't have a story time, did we? But this week we do. And I have a story to tell you that happened a long time ago. Just before I do, I want to tell you that there were over 30 children at Vacation Bible School, plus the youth, plus the helpers, plus the people who made things at home and sent them in, and there probably was over 45 people who participated last week. We were busy, just like Richard said, we were busy and we had lots of fun, and I even wore out my brand new sneakers. I had to take them back, they came out, the stitching came right out of them. Now, I have a story to tell you. Part of the story happened a long time ago, but part of the story happened when I had a trip to Israel. And it was a sunny day, and we were on a bus, and we went to a place where we thought that Jesus had walked. And so a man opened the Bible, and he began to read the story of Jesus. And it was a story of when there were boys and girls and men and women, mums and dads and grandparents were all there listening to him. And he told the story all right across lunchtime. And so he said to the disciples, how can we feed them all? And so he collected the loaves of bread and fish. And it was a miracle. He fed everyone. And so when I stood there and I looked out over the land, I thought of that. And when we were finished, before I got on the bus, I walked down to the lakeshore because Jesus loved to come to the lakeshore. He loved to get on a boat where it was quiet, and then he would come to the lakeshore where all the people were waiting. When I went down to the lakeshore, there was a little boy there, maybe about your age, I think. And he was standing there all by himself, and so I walked over. And he had his hand in his pocket like this. And so we began to talk, and he could speak some English. And so we talked about what it would have been like to be there and to be a little boy or a little girl in that crowd that day. And then without saying a word, he took his hand out of his pocket and he showed me a rock. And the rock looked like a loaf of bread, a tiny loaf of bread. And then he turned it over to the other side, and he had taken something very sharp, and he had etched a fish in it. And I stood in silence. I looked at this little rock, and then the little boy took out his hand, and he gave it to me. And I stood, and I held that rock in my hand and looked at it. And I thought, every day when I look at that rock, every day when I hold that rock, I will think of the little boy, but I'll also think of all of the times that Jesus came to the lakeshore, all of the stories that Jesus told us and how important it is. And so I put that rock into my pocket, and I brought it home on the bus. I brought it home on the plane, and it has a special place in my house, so I'll always remember Jesus at the lakeshore. So now, can you help me say a very short prayer? You say it after me, and maybe the people here can help us. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for being with us.
Help us to be the hands,
and the feet
of Christ.
Of Christ.
Help us to work together,
to bring love,
justice and peace.
Justice and peace.
To all. Amen.
So the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew his friends really well. They'd spent a lot of time together, and they'd spent quality time. They'd been talking about the things that make life worth living. And as the time came when he knew that he would soon be facing arrest, he wanted to reassure his disciples that they wouldn't be left abandoned and alone. And those words that we read in the 14th chapter of John Those words have given comfort to people for over 2,000 years. Powerful, timeless words. The Holy Spirit, they tell us, will be sent, was sent by God after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension. It's also sometimes called, so John tells us, the Spirit of Truth, or an advocate, or a friend. The Message, the modern translation by Eugene Peterson, translates it as a friend. I will talk to the Father and he'll provide you another friend, he says, so that you will always have someone with you. So the Holy Spirit guides us as we seek to live out our lives of discipleship as followers of Jesus. It animates our ministry. It breathes life into our ministry and passion too. The Holy Spirit inspires us with vision and with courage that we didn't know we had, and with a deep, abiding compassion for all creation. The Holy Spirit, which Jesus talked about, is our constant companion. Sometimes we forget that, and sometimes we feel very alone and that everything is on our shoulders, and we just need to turn the dial a tiny bit and become aware of the Spirit's presence in our lives. We are never alone. We can pray for the Spirit, talk to the Spirit, look to the Spirit for guidance through life's ups and downs. One of the best pieces of advice ever given to me, I think, by one of my spiritual mentors, was that when it comes to the Trinity, this holy mystery that Christianity talks about, it doesn't really matter if we can understand it fully. And it doesn't matter whether one year we feel more closely connected to God and at another time in our life we feel more that we can relate to Jesus, or if at other times in our life it's the Spirit that speaks to us. It doesn't matter, because these are all one unity, three in one and one in three. This image of the three in one you often find in Celtic Christianity. You've probably seen those beautiful Celtic drawings. Sometimes they have a trefoil, and sometimes the intricate lines weave in and out of each other, almost like a knot. Celtic art and Celtic poetry celebrates the Trinity in many ways. And they use analogies from every day, from daily life, and from nature all around us. They permeate the Celtic Christianity vision. Here's an example. Three folds of the cloth, yet only one napkin is there. Three joints of the finger, but only one finger fair. Three leaves of the shamrock, yet no more than one shamrock to wear. Frost, snowflakes, and ice, all water in their origin share. Three persons in God, one to one God alone do we make prayer. And sometimes Celtic prayers and poems go on at great length about the Holy Three, but sometimes they're very brief and very powerful, like this one. O Father who sought me, O Son who bought me, O Holy Spirit who taught me. In the church, we might be familiar with a prayer called St. Patrick's Breastplate. This is a prayer that was attributed to St. Patrick, probably written by one of the saint's followers. And I'll close this reflection with that prayer. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me. Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of a friend and stranger. And these final words at the poem's ending and climax: I bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature has creation, eternal Father, Spirit, Word. Praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ the Lord.